Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The last time I preached from the book of Colossians, it was Easter Sunday 2014. It was a bittersweet day for me because my mom had passed away 2 days earlier on Good Friday. And in the midst of celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus and wrestling with my grief at my loss, there was joy and hope mixed in as well because she was now with her Lord. It was a blessing to hear the gospel that the Apostle Paul presents and writes in this short letter that Easter morning. How thankful I am to have a Savior and a Lord like Jesus. How thankful I am to have a shepherd that faithfully leads me through every season of life to a promised land that I dream about more and more each passing day and year. A shepherd who laid down his life, not just for me, but for you and for the life of the world upon the hardwood of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd king. And today, this day, we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. Oh, what a king Jesus truly is. He's not like any other king. He is the supreme shepherd king. He has led us out of a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. He leads his people, his sheep, who know his voice, from this creation which he has made and sustains to a new heaven and earth to come. Do you know of any other shepherds who can do that? I certainly can't think of any. What an inheritance awaits us. Tomorrow afternoon, Miriam and I are driving up to Austin to meet with a lawyer to have an official will made up. It should be a lovely, romantic time. These are the amazing dates that we get to go on. Going to see our lawyer. The husbands take note of this. But as I was contemplating drafting up our will, my thoughts naturally turned to my children, who will inherit my humble estate. Being as they are very little, what are their qualifications? What qualifications do they have? They're my sons. They're my family. Right now, that's it. Those are their qualifications. Well, as the people of God, we've got a great inheritance to come. But what are our qualifications? Or more aptly put, who qualifies us? Well, I would hope it's quite obvious. It's our shepherd king, the Lord Jesus. So let's examine briefly this morning why we all should be exceedingly thankful, why we need to live in the Lord's power, and why we need Christ to be our reconciler to God the Father. If you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Now our passage this morning is in the middle of Paul's thanksgiving and prayer for the Colossians. We've just been given insight into the pastoral side of the Apostle Paul. Dun, dun, dun. He wants these young whippersnappers in the faith to have complete knowledge of God's will, spiritual wisdom, and understanding. Now, throughout my life, I've heard countless people say that Paul doesn't have a heart. Maybe some of you have said that to me. But that's completely untrue. That is completely untrue. We see his heart here in this passage. He loves these people. He loves them. He's an under-shepherd of the shepherd king. And he prays that God's people not only have knowledge, but power. But power to do what exactly? To patiently endure in the present. In other words, Paul is praying that God's awesome and glorious power would be unleashed unleashed in his people so that they can patiently endure now until they receive the promised inheritance to come. He's saying, we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light. We have much to be thankful for. We have much to be joyful about. We look over here and we see where our shepherd king has led us out of. A kingdom of slavery, of tyranny, of oppression, of sin and death. And we look over the other way and we see glimpses of where he's leading us to. A new heaven and a new earth. A future so glorious, so amazing, so wonderful, it just boggles the mind. So, one way there is sheer and utter darkness, death. The other way there is radiant and brilliant light. And here I am, stuck in the middle with you. However, I am convinced that most people have no idea where they are heading. And they sure want to get there fast. Does your life ever feel like that? Yeah, it does. I talk to you guys all the time. I know it does. You don't really know where you're going, but you're sure in a hurry to get there. Thomas Huxley was an agnostic man who lived in the mid-1800s and who had attacked Christianity in Europe in various ways. And he was in Dublin, Ireland one day, and he was rushing to get to a train. So he climbed aboard one of Dublin's famous horse-drawn taxis. And he said to the driver, "Hurry, I'm almost late. Drive fast." So the driver did exactly what he was told. So off they went at a furious pace. Relaxing, Huxley sat back in his seat and he closed his eyes, assured that at this quick pace they were going at, that they would get to the train station in time. But after a few minutes passed, Huxley sensed something was terribly wrong. He opened his eyes, glanced out the window, and realized that they were going in the opposite direction of the train station. Then he began to wonder, did I tell the driver where I wanted to go? Thinking that perhaps he had not given the driver complete directions, he called out to him, "Do you know where you are going?" To which the driver replied, "No, Your Honor, I do not. But I am driving very fast." I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with Christians over the last several years that have no idea where they are going. No idea where they are going. But they're certainly eager to get there quickly. And frequently in those conversations, I feel like the professor from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. "Goodness gracious, what do they teach at these schools? What do they teach at these churches? How can we not know where we're being led to? How can we not know?" Thankfully, Paul tells us, as he's told the Colossians, because God's word is a living word. It breathes. It speaks to us. We are being led toward the new creation. But it's not a quick thing. It's not a quick thing. We're not going to get there fast. It's not a snap of the fingers like we want in North American culture. It's a journey, man. It's a journey. Jesus, the shepherd king, is shepherding his sheep, his people. From this creation to the new creation. And this is why we need the Lord's power now. This is why we need the Lord's power unleashed now. Because we have to faithfully endure. Faithfully endure through opposition, through sufferings, through trials, through the ups and downs and twists and turns and upside downs of this life. For we are not home yet. We are not home yet. But our shepherd king is ever faithful. He is ever true. And he will lead us toward our final inheritance. And it is he, and he alone, who has qualified us to receive and inherit the new creation to come. In other words, Jesus has qualified us now in this present life for the life to come. Amen?
Amen.
Now, have you ever been disqualified from something? Maybe it was a competition in the sports category. Maybe it was in music or some of the other fine arts. And you just couldn't go on. You were disqualified. Or if you're anything like me, you were disqualified from a friendly game of charades once. In Christ, if Christ has qualified you and me, if he's qualified you and me, we cannot be disqualified. I want to repeat that. If Christ has qualified you and me, we cannot be disqualified. But not only has Jesus, not only has he qualified us now for the life to come, he has also rescued us. He's delivered us. He's set us free. It is he who has led us, who has transferred us from one kingdom to another. And our freedom has been purchased. I want to cry out, freedom! Our freedom has been purchased. It was bought for us with the precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus. The good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. And in Jesus we have this wonderful thing, the forgiveness of sins. We all need forgiveness. You see, what Christ has done, that's what a shepherd is. That's what a true shepherd is. Where he's leading us to, that's a true shepherd. To lead us from this life to the life to come, that's a true shepherd. That's your shepherd. That's my shepherd. But the shepherd is also the king. I love how all this imagery comes together. The shepherd is also the king. Jesus Christ reigns supreme over everything, including his sheep. We have this wonderful poem which breaks down for us the rule and the reign of Christ. Well, first we see that Jesus is sovereign over every aspect of his creation. Before anything was created, Jesus existed. And through him, God created everything in heaven and on earth, everything seen and unseen. But not only this, everything was also created for him. For him. And he holds everything together. Everything. The key then to the universe is not the number 42. It's Jesus. Jesus holds everything together. At the heart of the universe, there's Jesus. That's huge. Isn't it? I mean, that's really huge. That's your shepherd. That's your king. Secondly, this poem that Paul presents reveals to us that Jesus is supreme over his church and the new creation. Jesus is the head of his body, the church, and over all those who will rise from the dead. So very quickly, and this is hugely important, we see that Jesus is king from creation to new creation. And this king is your shepherd. He's my shepherd. And he is so very, very powerful. And he rules and he reigns supreme over everything. Everything. Well, next we see that God lived in Christ. Reconciling what? Reconciling what? Reconciling everything. Everything. You hear, everything is huge here in this little poem, isn't it? Everything. Reconciling everything. Peace was made in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. We have been reconciled to God through the death of Jesus, and Jesus lives in us by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Clark E. Tanner comments, "Can you fathom this? Can you fathom this? The God of the universe, who holds all things together by the word of his power, who fills all things and is bigger than the universe, bigger than time, literally lives in you. Lives in you. Calls you his dwelling place. What a magnificent creation you are. What high and wonderful privilege we have been given to house the Holy Spirit of God." To house the Holy Spirit of God. Wow. That's huge. It really is. It really is. So Jesus as shepherd leads us from creation to new creation, but Jesus as king, he rules and he reigns over everything, including you and me. And he lives and abides in us by the Spirit. of the living God. And by a saving death on the cross, we have been reconciled to God. We who were once enemies of God, dwelling in that other kingdom, that kingdom of darkness, that kingdom of tyranny and sin and death and oppression, now have been brought very near. Very near. And now are called the sons and the daughters of the living God. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise him. Have you seen Jesus today? Yeah. Did you know you were supposed to be looking for him? Have you seen Jesus today? Paul has gone to great length to present his image. What an assurance we have in this shepherd king, our shepherd king. And seeing the image of Jesus presented to us in this beautiful passage, where does all of this hit home for our daily lives? Well, first, we are to be profoundly grateful for who Jesus is. Profoundly grateful. The imagery of the shepherd that leads us from creation to new creation speaks about the covenant love that Jesus has for you and me, for his sheep. The covenant love. The imagery of kingship speaks about Jesus' eternal reign. As Martin Luther's classic hymn puts it, his kingdom is forever. His kingdom is forever. Are we thankful for the shepherd king?
Yes.
Are we thankful?
Yes.
Do we live in gratitude each and every day for who he is, for what he's done, for what he's doing, and where he's leading us to? Secondly, are we living in the power of God? That's a key one. I mean, they're all key. I wouldn't give them to you if I didn't think they were, but this is really crucial. Especially the last week in this parish, people are dropping like flies, man, with sicknesses and other kinds of things. Are we living in the power of God? Are we? That glorious power that allows us to have the endurance and the patience that we need to weather the storms and the various seasons of this life. Do you need power for whatever you're currently facing? For whatever you're dealing with right now that you brought here this morning? Then ask the Lord, and he will strengthen you. He's got all kinds of power. He's all powerful. He's got all kinds of power. God's Holy Spirit lives in you. God's Holy Spirit lives in me. Pray for his daily power as Jesus leads us from this creation to the creation to come. Thirdly, continue to believe in the truth that Jesus Christ has reconciled you and me to God the Father. That we have been brought into God's presence and made holy and blameless. Again, why? How? Who? Jesus. It's not me, it's not you, it's Jesus. This is what he does. Stand in this truth. Stand in it. Don't let this assurance drift away from you. Live in this reality. Breathe it in. Breathe it out. Breathe it in. Breathe it out. Jesus has reconciled us to God the Father. Would you like to live in gratitude today?
Yes.
Well, then come to this table. Come to this table. Would you like to live in God's power today?
Yes.
Then come to this table. Would you like to live by continuing to believe in the Lamb of God, through whom you have been reconciled to God, our Heavenly Father, today? Would you like to continue that?
Yes.
Then come to this table. Come to this table. Come knowing Jesus is shepherding you always through this life and beyond, from creation to new creation, through every stormy gale, through every snowy season, and the good times and the bad times. Come knowing his tender love and his compassion and his forgiveness and mercy and his grace. Come and experience his rule and reign in your life. Come and experience that. Come to your shepherd king. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for me. King through all eternity. Come to your shepherd. Let him shepherd you now and always. Let us pray. Eternal Father, whose Son Jesus Christ ascended to the throne of heaven that he might rule over all things as Lord and King, keep the church in unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, and bring the whole created order to worship at his feet, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.